I invite you to turn your Bibles to the book of Colossians. We're here taking a look at this epistle written to the church of Colossae by the Apostle Paul. And it certainly seems by what he has written that he has never met them, but he's heard about them. Their witness goes forth, and there's testimony of those that he knows. Epaphras is a fellow that is connected with this church, and the apostle is very pleased with what he hears about their faithfulness to the Lord, their love for the Lord. The gospel came unto them. We don't know exactly how. It doesn't seem to be directly by the Apostle Paul's ministry. Maybe those that were saved from the apostle's ministry or others' ministry, it made its way to Colossae and Laodicea, obviously, and folks there were saved, and a church was born there, was formed. And so he's writing to them, and we took a look last time about the energia that works in us, the Greek word energia that's mentioned there in the last verse of chapter 1. He says, I also labor striving to his working, according to his working, the Lord's working, which worketh in me mightily. And so that energia, that working, that's the English word there that's referencing that Greek word energia, that is to be working in the saints, in his churches. And Paul said it's working in him mightily. May the Lord help us that our work would be mighty in him. And so then we come to chapter 2, he mentions there in the latter part of the first chapter, too, about the mystery of the Lord. It's been hid from ages, from generations, but that also Gentiles would be saved and would be part of his body, and how it is that Christ lives within us. And so he writes here in chapter 2, for I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them of Laodicea. And Laodicea is down the road. Remember, Colossae is 60, 80 miles east of Ephesus. And Laodicea is just down the road from Colossae. He has a great conflict. We're going to hear about that conflict here in a minute. He's going to get to that. And he says, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. So that's another hint that we have, where it seems that Paul has never been to this church, but being the apostle to the Gentiles, and as he mentions the care of the churches that is upon him, this care of the Gentile churches, he's writing to them to encourage them and to instruct them and command them in the things of the Lord. And so he's got a great conflict. We'll see about that here in verses to come. I have a great conflict for those at Colossae, the church at Colossae, and them at Laodicea, all of you that have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted. Okay, so he desires comfort for them. And there's only comfort available in the Lord. Okay, and when there's a need for comfort, we understand that there's probably trial. There's pressure. And no matter how, even if this church at Colossae had 500 members, that would probably pale in comparison to the number, the population of the city itself. And so they would be in a place from the physical standpoint of being outnumbered, like the church at Ephesus. It was same kind of thing, a crossroads of commerce and then all the wicked worship of Diana there and everything. I mean, that region is ill affected by those things. So he wants and desires that their hearts be comforted, being knit together in love, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, and to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God. Okay, he's mentioned that earlier in chapter 1, and of the Father and of Christ. To understand about the Lord, to understand about what the Lord has done in saving them and calling them, to understand about the assignment that he has given them, that what they have received and what has come to them by the working of the Lord, that they would be involved in pushing that forward, the fulfilling of the Great Commission, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love. And that word there, knit together, you know, Paul writes these about these principles to the different churches and the different epistles and mentions it different ways. In Ephesians chapter 4, we see in verse number 16, and I've referred to this in recent time, we took a look at this verse from the standpoint of the working of the Lord, the energia. But he says here in the church, Christ being our leader, our head, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. So he's this picture, this allegorical reference to a physical body of a person is showing what it's to be like in a church. There's flow, there's nearness, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And so he said it that way to the church at Ephesus, here to the church at Colossae, being knit together in love, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love. Our comfort comes from the Lord, but the means by which that comfort may come would be through our brothers and sisters in Christ. For compassion for one another. And that word knit, I got to thinking about that, and Sister Darlene knit me this muffler. I know this is crocheted. I think this is crocheted. And so she made this. And being knit together is like this. Now, granted, I understand this is all one strand, but you can take a whole lot of separate strands and knit them together to make something useful. It's got to be real cold for me to wear this and use this because it's really, really warm when you start doubling it up. But it sure is handy, especially when my neck gets cold in the winter. Individual strands knit together for something useful. The something useful is the calling of the Lord. I asked Miranda if she could help me out with some yarn. And this is single strand here of yarn, and it's not knit together. It's very singular. Hard to take this and layer it up and get warm by it and keep it on you. You know, singularity just doesn't work very well. Take a lot of that to get my neck warm, wouldn't it? And it'd be hard to keep it on. He says being knit together. To be knit together, you got to be close. Now that can go on there, and I can take that and put that around my neck and break out in a sweat pretty quick in this weather. That's what being knit together is. It's talking about closeness. Just like over there in Ephesians, it talked about every joint supplying. Got to be close for the flow of that nourishment to be administered one to another. Can't do that from a distance. Can't do that. I mean, this right here, it's going to be cold out here, and it's going to be cold out here. You know, you take separate strands, and that's not knit together. And so He says that their hearts might be comforted. Laodicea, Colossae, those that have not seen him. That's his prayer and his desire for him, for them, that their hearts might be comforted and being knit together in love, care one for another, clinging one to another. You know, and I want to point this out, and I haven't preached a message on it. I want to. I just haven't got to the point of it. Do you know Paul's last name? Do you know Peter's last name? How about Mark? You know Mark's last name? Do you know James's last name? In the scripture, How about this? Do you know Jesus' last name? You know, this whole writing of the scripture to us is very personal. About the only one that I can think of that we maybe know their reference to their name, last name is Peter. But the Lord doesn't call him by his last name, does he? He actually gave him another name. He did that from the standpoint of Peter, who he was, and then what he was going to look to say. And Peter's name lended it to that in calling him Cephas. We don't know Jesus' last name. We know his first name. Because, see, being saved by the Lord causes us to be part of a family. Brother Mark, would you ever call Shane Mr. Dewberry?
No.
He's your younger brother, so you would, you know, and I don't know, Stephen, would you call Philip Mr. Dewberry? Right, you know, right? You don't ever call Stephen Mr. Watkins, do you? Right? You know, Brother Jeff, you don't call Russell Mr. Sharp, do you? Right? We don't do that with our family. The scripture doesn't do that at all. First name basis. And the thing is we have decorum in our day, and we have, rules for manners and things like that. I'm not running across that, saying that that's bad. And in some cases, that has its place. But here in the church, what we receive from the scripture is a near, knit-together family relationship. And all the scripture is first name basis. Because we're to be knit together. We're certain at the very least, for all of the saved, we're knit together in the family of God. And then you and I have been called to his church. We're knit together in his institution here today. In love. And so, may the Lord help us that we, by that just very simple thing, that we see that this is to be an affectionate thing in the Lord, because of the Lord, one towards another. And the care that we should have for one another is like a brother and sister. And we are in Christ. Our relationship in Christ even transcends the relationship that we have, blood family tie on this earth, because they're eternal. You're saved, I'm saved, we will be our siblings in Christ forever. Forever. Our relationship in that way will never change. And we're going to spend eternity together. We need to be knit together now. We need to be near now. Close enough for that, the joint that you are, the nourishment of supplying of the joints and the flow in the body, to be a supplement and a help one to another, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love. That agape love, that abundance of love, service, and action. Unto, this is what it'll take us into, unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding. We have full assurance, understanding about the Lord. In Jeremiah, we've read that passage. Don't let a man glory in his might, or in his wealth, or in his ability. If a man's going to glory, let him glory in this, that he knoweth me and understandeth me, saith the Lord. That we would understand what the Lord has done for us, that we would understand and know what he's called us into with confidence, and that we would be unto our Lord and to one another as he has called us to be, and that we would be knit together in love unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, and to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God. It was a mystery. There's many mysteries. But a lot of those mysteries have been revealed to us. God became a man to become our Savior, a man yet God. That's a mystery. And it's been revealed to us. The mystery of Gentiles being saved and put in his body, putting in his church. That was a mystery. It looked like the Lord was going to work with a nation alone. It's a mystery that the freeness of the gospel and salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ would be brought and spread to the entire world, no matter of ethnicity or station or ability. Those mysteries have been revealed. We understand some about the ages to come, things that were mysteries. Now those things have been, a little bit of the veil's kind of been pulled open, so we have a glimmer of the light of those things, of what the future holds. We don't understand them completely, but I tell you what, we've got a piece here and a piece here. And unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. So God, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. We've talked about this in the preeminence of Christ. We'll mention it again. At the beginning of the scripture, we hear of God. Then we hear of Jehovah. But then we hear of the angel. And then we hear of Adonai. Capital L, lower O-R-D. We then hear about the Messiah. And then we hear about the Son of God becoming a man, and his name is Jesus. The Father sent the Son, and the Son was obedient to come, and the Holy Spirit that moved upon the waters at the beginning of the creation is the person of the Godhead that comes and visits sinners and makes the Word effective and changes hearts and gives that heart of flesh and takes away the heart of stone. A lot of things have been opened up to you and me. A lot of things. The mystery of God. We understand. I'm not saying that we know everything about God, but we know about God, the great three in one, don't we? But then we know about the Father too. Jesus has made that clear unto us. And then it's been made clear to us about Christ. Not that Christ is going to come, but Christ has come. His name is Jesus, and he is Lord. And so, praise be to the Lord. We need to be knit together in his love, and we need to lap up and consume the Word of God, this full canon of Scripture that he's given unto us to understand, and these mysteries that have been revealed. There are things we don't know, but there is much that's been given unto us to know. And we can be a help and encouragement one to another. And we can be a light and a witness to a lost and dying world. And again, here of Christ, he's touching on it again. He mentioned in chapter 1 about that Christ would have the preeminence. He says, and of Christ, verse 3, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The writer of Proverbs and the writer of Psalms, we touched on that this morning about the wisdom. You want to know all the wisdom of God? It's found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's liberal to give it out, right? Brother James declares that to those that come to him and ask, if any man lack wisdom, go to the Lord. He's got it. He is wisdom. In whom are hid all the treasures. When you think about treasure, what do you think about? I think about treasure chests with the lid open, full of coins and jewels and pearls and all that, okay? And whom are hid, in Christ they're hid, all the treasures of wisdom and of knowledge. Christ has it all. He's, as a man, he has all the Spirit of God given to him by the Father. He is our all in all. He's the mediator. He's the intercessor. He's our Savior. He's our judge. He's got the answers to everything. You pick the subject. He's expert at it. Pick the subject. It doesn't matter. Pick it. He's expert at it. And he will dispense such to us as we need and as we ask. In whom are hid all. It doesn't say most, does it? The biggest part of. The greater part. It doesn't say that. All the treasures. Remember those treasure chests of wisdom and knowledge. It's not gold and silver and all those jewels and all that that we think about the treasure chest. But wisdom is there and knowledge is there, which can bring everything and anything that we need. And then this conflict that he has. He's laid the foundation of what the Lord has done, what he's revealed unto us, how he's done so for us, how Christ is preeminent. Everything is in Christ. Anything and everything that you would ever need for now and eternity is in Christ. And this I say, verse 4, I say this, lest any man should beguile you, trick you, con you with enticing words. Watch out. Watch out for enticers. Watch out for smooth talkers. Watch out. See, over in Revelation 19, let me read a verse for you over here. Brother John writes, and he says here in verse 10 of chapter 19, and I fell at the angel's feet from what he saw about the marriage supper of the Lamb to worship him. And the angel said unto me, see thou do it not. Don't fall down and worship me. I'm your fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. What Jesus has declared, they have that. You see, what Jesus has declared is what you and I tell. And the testimony of Jesus. We tell over what the Lord has already said. That's all we have. We have our individual testimony about how the Lord visited us and used means to enlighten us and open our hearts, open our eyes, and how he worked in particularly in our lives. But the message and the working of the Lord is the same for all of us. He says, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus, worship God, the angel tells John, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Everything that has been proclaimed by God is all focusing upon Jesus and what's declared about him and what is declared through him. The testimony of Jesus, the declaration in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and he spoke it all into existence. And in Colossians, we find out it's our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ there. He hasn't been given the name Jesus yet, but he's the Son of God. And he, by his word, prophesied, commanded, and it was so. Then John writes, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He speaks all. He spoke the world into existence, and he speaks unto salvation. And he is, in him are all the treasures of wisdom of knowledge, but there are enticing words that we need to be aware of. And how can we know about the enticing words? To know what Jesus said. If you and I know what Jesus has said, if we know what God has said, if we know what the Father has said, if we know what the Son has said, we'll know about the enticing words. He says, and this I say, lest any man should beguile you. I'm telling you, I'm reinforcing to you about the preeminence of the work of God, the desire of God, the working of God in the Son. Lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit. What do you think about that? I've heard that said. Well, I can't be there, but I'll be with you in spirit. Well, your spirit didn't leave your body. But we were thinking about them, weren't we? We were praying for them. That's what Paul means. His spirit did not leave his body to go over there to be with them at Colossae. But you know what? In spirit, he prayed for them to the Father. Because see, we're not omnipresent. We're not even multi-present. We're not even bi-present. We are present. All right. And so don't misunderstand that. So someone would say, see, I told you they could be over there with the Spirit. No, his thoughts, his prayers, and his desire. And by praying to the Lord for their help, supplicating for them, indeed, the working of God and the power of God can take the prayer of a saint and make it a blessing over there to others. Paul prayed for them. Now, I don't know about if I buy that, Brother Jim. Well, do you think the Lord ever answered Paul's prayer? Maybe sometimes he answered his prayer and sometimes he didn't answer his prayer. But when he answered his prayer, the Lord blessed. And the Lord's given the avenue of prayer for the saints. And supplication is what we're to be doing for one another. That's part of being knit together. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order. He's there in the spirit and he's seeing with his spirit eyes what's going on. No, he hears the reports of Epaphras. He hears the reports of the other saints. Okay, so don't misunderstand that. And the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. He said, I'm not near you. I can't be near you to reinforce these things, but I'm praying for you. I'm thinking about you. I hear the report of your joy and your order and your steadfastness, and I'm encouraged of the blessing of the Lord. God is blessing you. But watch out for these enticing words. You know, in Asia Minor and these things, Ephesus being a chief city, the things of Ephesus would no doubt spill over into the regions, and there would be those that would be deceivers and such. He says, as ye therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. How have we received him? By faith. Not by works, but by faith. Remember to follow. Jesus has saved you. Remember, follow Jesus. Walk with Jesus. Walk humbly with him, as we saw in Micah Wednesday night. Walk humbly with your God. As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord in faith, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him. Rooted. That sounds like a foundation, doesn't it? Now he's referring to the tree here. He's referring to a tree or a plant, a tree, rooted and built up in him. Just like the building that is the church, the Lord's churches are set on a foundation of the Lord, of the apostles, the doctrine of the apostles, and the Lord Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. So same kind of talk, different kind of reference. He says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord in faith, so walk ye in him, and do so being rooted and built up in him. How are we going to be built up in him? Hearts comforted, being knit together, love, riches of full assurance and understanding, right? Acknowledgement of the mystery of God, learning more, receiving more about God and the Father and Christ. Rooted and built in him, established in the faith, established in the faith. Is the faith variable? The faith, is it variable? No, it's what the Lord has said. What the Lord has said. The testimony of Jesus is the Spirit and the working of prophecy. What Jesus has proclaimed, that's where it's all at. That's what we're to follow after. Nothing else. Rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as you've been taught. We're to be learning. We're to be teaching. Abounding therein, abounding in that teaching, being established in the faith that is Christ, being established in the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ and our faith in Him. The Scripture speaks about that. You know, Christ's faithfulness is the basis by which, is that in which we believe. If He was not faithful, we'd have nothing to trust in. But he was faithful and is faithful. Rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith as you have been taught. And so they have been taught by those brethren that brought the word to them, and a church was formed and they continued to teach them. This brother Epaphras, that Brother Paul in verse 7 of chapter 1 says, our dear fellow servant, he seems to be a minister who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. So Epaphras has been there amongst them working, it seems, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, a Thanksgiving dinner. No, thanksgiving to the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for sending a witness. Thank you for sending a minister. He's reminding them of what the Lord has done and what the Lord has called them into. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy. These are the enticing words. And vain, empty deception, deceit. After the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. What would be an example of the rudiments of the world? Well, how about this? God's going to judge the earth, the world, and righteousness by that man that He raised from the dead. The rudiments of the world said nobody raises from the dead. When people die, they're dead. That's it. But you know what God did? He raised His Son from the dead. The Lord Jesus raised Himself from the dead. The Spirit of God raised Jesus from the dead, and He died once and lives again forevermore. That's not after the rudiments of the world and the way the world operates. That's the power of God. And that's how sinners are saved, by the power of the Lord. He says, don't let anyone spoil you through enticing words, philosophy, and vain deception. Watch out for that. Know what the Lord has said. Don't follow after the tradition of men. That's a joke. Wasn't that when Paul declared that? That they said, what's this guy talking about? Somebody raising from the dead. You know, some mocked him. Some kind of scratched their head, said, we'll listen to you again later. That was pretty fun. Others said, this is it. This is the real thing. This is what I've never heard before. Watch out. Watch out. Don't be beguiled. Don't be tricked. But know what the Lord has said. And there he is back to it again. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments, the baseness of the world, and not after Christ. For in Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. It's what we saw over in verse number 19 in chapter 1. For it pleased the Father that in Him, in Christ, should all the fullness dwell. You want to know the truth? Get it from Jesus. You want all wisdom? Get it from Jesus. You want knowledge about anything? Get it from Jesus, because He's the one. He knows about things that we need on this earth and living, and He knows about all things eternal. He knows it all, has it all, and He is the one that we need. Verse 10, and ye are complete in Him. Some sing a song about that. Complete in Him. And we are. You know, that's a temptation that the folks that say that they're saved have. They said, you know, I just need something more. I need something more than what Jesus is. I need something more than what my church does. It's not to say a church might not fail or a minister fail to minister to a people correctly. But let us not go seeking for more when we have it all in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us avail ourselves to Him. We're complete in Him. And here he goes. This is the way that it always works in these church epistles. There's a point of transition where he goes from individuals to the group, to the church. That always happens, either to the church, to the individual, or the individual to the church. And ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body the sins of the flesh by the circumcisions of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God. There's another reference to that energia, who hath raised Him from the dead. And so, Lord willing, next time we'll take a look in this being complete in Him, and this reference about the operation of God, faith in the operation of God. And so, know what the Lord says. Know Him. Let us be knit together in love unto the riches of full assurance and understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God together, and of the Father and of Christ Jesus, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Let us, as Olmsted Baptist Church, let us be that together. A nearer than family relationship, a relationship in Christ for His honor and His glory and His service. Do your part in being knit together in Him.